The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
In the meantime, Jess Kelly has joined me to talk about these scam calls that many people have been getting in recent days and weeks. I know I have been getting them as well, and I have been ignoring them, but I'd like to know who's calling me, why, and how can I stop them. Jess, first port of call, why are they happening?
This is the latest iteration, I suppose, of scams that have been going around in the online world for many years. I'm sure, Kieran, over the years, you've received an email from an African prince who wants to leave you $1 million. All you have to do is click on the link, give your bank details, and you'll get the €1 million. This is an evolution of that. These types of scams have been going around. But the scary thing is that the technology is actually helping the scammers get smarter and more sophisticated. So some of the calls you have received over the last number of weeks, I'm sure, had Irish phone numbers, either purporting to be from a landline or starting with 087, 083, like an Irish mobile number. This is called caller ID spoofing. And the way it works is, this is not happening from Ireland. The scammers can be anywhere in the world. Use a piece of software that is very widely available. Put in a database filled with phone numbers and essentially just let it run. It is that thing of Homer Simpson when he works from home with a little bird just pressing the yes button the entire time. It's kind of like that.
And this thing of contacting us using Irish phone number, like that's a new development, isn't it? Because a couple of years ago, this was a story as well, but it was easy to screen them because it was Sri Lanka or Upper Volta or Vanuatu calling you. And unless you knew someone in one of those countries, you know, it was easy to just put the phone away and ignore it. Harder when it's 087s.
Yeah, and this is where it gets a bit unnerving, I suppose, because it is coming up as an Irish number. We are always very curious, you know, that panic when you have a missed call. Is something wrong? Do I need to call them back? And that's what they're playing on. They are playing on our weaknesses as humans, hoping that we will call them back. And as you said, this is something new. And, you know, this type of technology is being exploited, not just here in Ireland, right around the world. It's a huge issue in the US. There's surveys that have been done that have shown that they rack up around €422 per person with these scam calls in the US, which is a huge amount of money. So $30 billion has been scammed from people in the US using this type of technology. And although it's annoying, and although we're sort of joking about it, the reason it's still ongoing is because it works. These type of technologies, it can be quite unnerving when you pick up your phone, it has an Irish number, and somebody's telling you that, you know, you owe money to revenue, or, you know, the FBI is coming to get you because of something you've done unless you pay this money.
Yeah,
it is preying on people's vulnerabilities. And I think, you know, the timing of this couldn't have been worse, I suppose, from our point of view, because it was in the wake of the HSE cyber attack, where cybersecurity was very much in the forefront of our minds. And while there is nothing to say at all that these scam calls are relating to that, we do need to look back at some of the other hacks and data breaches that have happened in Ireland over the last number of years, because that's how they get your number. You may be sitting there, Kieran, thinking, geez, nobody has my number. How do these scammers have my number?
Yeah.
It's because databases and data breaches happen pretty much every day of the week. Every time I'm on with you, I talk about this website, haveibeenpawned.com. If you put in your telephone number or your email address, chances are you'll see a few databases that have your details that have been breached over the last number of months or years. And there's some pretty high profile ones.
Oh, I've done that, Jess. You've mentioned it. And it's frightening the amount of times that there's been data breaches on websites or from databases that have my information.
Yeah, and you might think it's fairly innocuous. I remember there was a few years ago, there was a running app that I used once, and I had put in my email address and my phone number when I was registering it, and that was involved in a breach. And you may think, ah, that's harmless enough. Like, what can they do with my email address or my phone number? But this is the exact type of thing that they can do. They can target you. It is a form of technological harassment, the way some people in our office are being bombarded. I'm sure listeners at home have experienced it as well. And the most frustrating thing that I have found is that because they're using this caller ID spoofing technology, they're not calling from the same number every single time.
Well, Jess, we've a couple of people have texted in, like Mary, who says, I got a call from my own mobile phone number. number at the weekend with the automated voice machine telling me my social security number had been compromised. And someone else said the same thing. I got a spoof call from my own phone number.
Yeah, and that's just the way it rolls. Like, this is, it's one of those sort of probability things where they just insert a phone number. They can mask it to any number. They can have your exact phone number with just one digit changed out. Again, piquing that curiosity so you're more likely to answer it. Mm. I've been on to Comreg. They are saying that unfortunately there is no way to identify a scam call number, and they can reassemble a very normal, very familiar number that we would, you know, interact with on a daily basis. Again, prying on that vulnerability so that in the hope that you will answer and get involved.
Who is behind all of this?
We don't know. And the scary thing, I was talking to Cisco, who specialized in cybersecurity a number of weeks ago, and they were saying that we have very sophisticated cyber criminal gangs, and this is their bread and butter. They do it and they can extort a huge amount of money, but very often they will target big businesses or organizations like the HSE in the hopes of getting a one-off payment of a few million quid. But now what we're seeing is software as a service. So sometimes if you're in a conversation with a nerdy tech person, they'll talk about SaaS technology. So that's software as a service. And this type of hacking, scamming technology is widely available so that you can go online in your bedroom, download it and run it. And there's no real limits in terms of what you can do, who you can target, how long you can target for, which is the terrifying part. So this could go on for quite some time.
Well, what's the goal for people behind these calls?
It's to get your money. It's the age old thing of they just want your money.
How do they get it though? I mean, if I answer, how do they get money out of me?
So it depends on who they're purporting to be. Very often it'll be that you owe money on something. We're seeing a lot of these coming in email form as well ever since Brexit. You know, we have your parcel. You just need to pay €2 in import fees. Pop your credit card details here and we'll get your parcel to you ASAP. So it's all that thing, again, prying on vulnerabilities. You don't want to be in trouble. You follow the rules. If someone says you owe them money, you give over your credit card information. You may see an instant transaction, you know, for like €1 or €2 come off, and then down the line a bigger transaction will be made. We just heard Josh there on the show in the last few minutes talking about the future of banking. This is where things like Revolut really come into their own, because you get a notification the second any movement happens on your card, whether that is a pre-authorization hold, you know, say if you're ordering something online, the website will do a little test to test if your card is legitimate. That can be a really useful tool if you are targeted by scammers or people who are trying to get your money.
And what about people who are being bombarded with calls, and lots of them are getting in touch, Jess, because the calls don't all come from the same number. Like I said, it was easy to screen them when they were foreign, and I've just been ignoring them. But there's lots of people, particularly in this industry, and I don't want to engage in navel gazing, but they've got to answer calls from phone numbers that they don't have saved in their phone. You know what I mean? They're trying to get people to come on the show and talk about the weather or climate change or scam calls, whatever it happens to be. How do they screen them?
Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot we can do, Kieran, and this is something that Comreg, the Gardaí, a whole host of other bodies have been warning about in recent weeks. There is no scientific way. I can't say if it comes from an 08 something number, just block it. The thing is, when you answer the call, if it doesn't feel right in any way, shape or form, just hang up, don't engage. Even if you think it might be legitimate, if it's someone purporting to be from a bank or a credit union or a utility company, what I always do, and it can seem a bit rude, but I always say, do you know what? I can't talk right now. I'll call you back. And you call the main number. Don't call back the number that they called you on. Call the main switchboard number, get put through, whatever needs to happen. But do not hand over any financial information. Don't even go through the verification steps of confirming your name, date of birth, and so on, because all of that is seriously valuable information. So unfortunately, the best thing we can do right now is be a little bit short with people on the phone and do not engage at any cost.
What's the difference, or how do they differ in terms of sophistication, these scams from, you know, you mentioned the HSE cyber attack or those email phishing scams that we've been used to in recent years?
Yeah, you'll see a difference in the level of sophistication in that what's happening to us now is we're basically being bombarded with calls. It's like a fishing expedition. They're just going out to see what they can get. And even if they get a 5% success rate, that's still easy money for them because this software is so readily available and inexpensive. It gets a little bit more complicated and a little bit nastier when it is targeting big businesses and organizations in the instance of the HSE, because there's collateral damage. They can very much target files, lock a system, lock, you know, small and medium businesses out of their files, out of their customer databases. And that's where you get into negotiation territory. And there is nothing to say that you will have a sound person doing the negotiation from the other side. So you could get into very dangerous territory. And again, our legislation hasn't really caught up in terms of giving people proper protection when they are targeted. And it's very difficult to track these hackers down because they can be based anywhere in the world. They can use VPNs to bounce their identity anywhere around the world. So it is going to be a big issue the longer this goes on.
Well, John and Navin says, I got about 10 calls last week from a guy trying to sell me Bitcoin. I blocked the number every time, but he kept ringing back on different numbers. So annoying. Somebody else says, I keep getting calls from 089 numbers. I try text the number, but I don't get any reply. And David says, why can't the phone company stop the spoofing of numbers? It must be stoppable. There's only a small number of providers. As Jess says, it is not that easy. The technology evades them at the moment. Jess Kelly, our own technology correspondent here in News Talk, thanks a million for all of that.